This is the national public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. During the weekend of December the 9th and 10th, Imam Muhammad traveled to the city of Hartford, Connecticut, to deliver a series of lectures before the Muslim women, the Hartford Seminary, and a public address. We now present part three of his public address delivered Saturday, December the 10th, 1994, titled Islam in America.
We are a community. That's the key. We are not just religious people. We are not just people of faith. We are a community. God calls us believers, and God addresses us as a community. God says to let us know that He has made us a community. Say, you are the best community evolved or raised up out of the world for the good of all people. That's what Allah says to us in the Quran. Now that's enough right there to tell us what we should be about. God says that you are the best community raised up in the world, evolved out of the world for the good of all people. Minnas, that's for the good of all people. I understand Arabic, Quranic Arabic, believe me, I understand Quranic Arabic. So if that's raised up for all people. Now, if you're Muslim, you belong to the Muslim world, you belong to Islam, you're obligated to have an interest in the welfare of all people on this earth. Yeah, because God said that the purpose of making you a community was for you to be of benefit, of good benefit to mankind at large. That's what God says. Now, so we can't just be believers believing in this religion and going about our separate business. No, we have a focus for our interest. The focus is community life. So all of us are supposed to be contributing to community life. That means more than masjid. That means more than school. That means also cultural centers. That means we should be trying to provide cultural outlet for Muslims. That's community responsibility. We should have Muslim theater. Yes. We should have Muslim theater. Theater is powerful for influencing behavior and thoughts of people, thinking of people. We should have Muslim theater. We should have Muslim art.
Yes.
Here's a great artist here we have here. Oh, where is he? Oh, there he is. Yes. Brother who works in the editorial department of our paper and is responsible for the graphics and many things in the Muslim Journal's office down there, he is a great artist. And he does not use his talent except for the pleasure of God. Except for the pleasure of God, Allah. Except for Allah's pleasure. And I would like to see that in this community. We have one, I think you're training one. One is coming to you, consulting you, yeah. We have one and he's doing fine. I hear he's doing fine. That's Baha'i Dean, isn't it? Brother Baha'i Dean in the Chicago area. So pretty soon he'll be able to do Islamic artwork. Now, what is Islamic artwork? Anything we know that doesn't offend or discredit what we are as Muslims? Quran, what Quran? It doesn't conflict with Quran, Quranic values, Quranic principles. It doesn't conflict with Islamic or Muslim modesty. It's not in conflict with that. It's not imitative. You know, the worst thing you can do is imitate the world. You get no dignity imitating the world. Don't ever imitate the world. Don't ever imitate people outside of your life. Your life is Muslim life. Don't imitate people outside of your life. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him, he said, those who have the behavior of others outside of our group are not with us. The Prophet said that. So in ignorance, some people will do that. They be imitating non-Muslim behavior. You can't do that. You're supposed to have Muslim spirit in you. You're supposed to have Muslim appetite in you. So if you have Muslim appetite and Muslim spirit, your Muslim appetite and your Muslim spirit should reflect in everything that you create. Yes. We should see the evidence that this coming from a Muslim. So I'm still not, the music has improved greatly over the years. When you first started out, I'm telling you, you put me in hell. I'm going to tell you now, because it's over, you know. But when you were doing it and so proud of your singing and stuff, I couldn't hurt you like that. But now I can tell you, you put me in pure hell. Up there bouncing around on the stage and sounding like doo-wops and... But now I see you come a little bit more into your Muslim awareness, you know. And in time, we're going to have a different music. I'll never be satisfied with your music until it sounds different. Not supposed to sound like the Western music. Not supposed to sound like Christian music. Right. Thank you. It has to sound different. Then I will be happy with it. Your lyrics should be different. Yes. Well, in time we'll get there. And that's why I say we need a theater. Because in a theater we can have people, experienced people, trained people, working on these problems. And creating new music and creating new expressions and everything, you know? We can have people doing this. And out of the theater, from that theater, it grows and spreads on. Pretty soon you got several theaters. And then pretty soon you're on the TV with a new music and a new expression. Yeah. Don't you know we have, even if you're not a Muslim, don't you know most likely if we take 5 or 10 black people, not Muslims, I believe we could say and be correct that at least one of them have Islamic history in his past. Yes! Africa is not a country of heathens. Africa is a country of Muslims. The heathens are not in the majority. So most likely, if you just take any African American off the street, we might be grabbing hold to a man whose ancestors were Muslims. So we have definitely Islamic heritage.
That's right.
We have an Islamic heritage that we need to learn about and appreciate. All right, so am I being Eastern? If I want to have a tamarind-like music that resembles what I hear in the Middle East, no, I'm being myself. If you want to find what you should be doing, you should go to Africa among the Muslims, see what they're doing. And if anything, make some improvement on it. Go to Saudi Arabia, see what they're doing. Make some improvement on it. Yes! That's what you should be doing. Because that's where your past is. Before you were bebopping and doo-wopping and all that stuff. And you know what this culture will do for you. It's entertainment for them. I mean, deciding how you want to behave next year. That's a game for them. That's their entertainment. Also, we must have strong business. Strong business. You know, Allah made the first man from the ground, didn't he? Made him from the ground. And we know production, produce, production, profit, all comes out of the ground, doesn't it? Now, I didn't say prophet. I bet somebody wrote P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Prophet. and they'll go back at that. Well, give me a minute. Let the prophet come out of the ground, brother. Hey, ma'am, he's too heavy for me. And I got to be very careful that I'm talking to you. No, P-R-O-F-I-T. Profit and loss. Yes, profit comes out of the ground. Gain, income, resources, surplus, all comes out of the ground. Like, wouldn't it be good if you had a surplus at the end of the year? In the bank account? Or in the inventory, you know? We don't want too much surplus in the inventory. I'm sorry, I made a mistake there. We want the inventory to go. We want the surplus in the bank account. But we need to concentrate on business. We have to. So, in the beginning of our history as people, God made the man from the ground. And what does God say to us? God said to us, when he's giving us this story of making this man from the ground, he said, from the earth you shall be taken. And from the earth you're going to get all of your needs, your provision, your means of livelihood going to come from the earth. There will also be your place of meeting. You're going to have to get together and meet each other on the earth and congregate together on the earth, on the ground, and socialize and build your social establishment on the earth. And there you'll be gathered together. Gathered for what? Judgment. You're going to be gathered there too. No work in the earth. You didn't even shake the soil up as much as an ant does. Well, to the hellfire. To the hellfire you go. You lazy good for nothing. Poop win. Right to the hellfire you go. Yes. I think some lazy people ought to be sent to hell faster than somebody that committed adultery. We are punished more by lazy people than we are punished by adulterers. I mean on the simple level of this language. On the high level of this language, no, adultery makes idle people too. But on the common man understanding of adultery, yes, the idleness is a bigger sin than that adultery. Yes, I think. It hurts society more. We can do away with both of you all. You did adultery, do away with both of y'all. But this lazy man, we do away with him, and still the vacancy today. We still can't make up. we can't make up for him. Look, all his life he does that. So we don't want to kill him. We want him to catch up. Say, look here, we should kill you, but your punishment is to live the rest of your life out working 20 hours and sleeping 5. And I'm kidding here, you know, but serious too. At the same time, I'm serious. Now, God says, and here on this earth you'll be gathered. You'll be gathered. And from this earth you'll be taken again. From the earth you're going to be taken again. So really God is saying that your whole cycle, the whole cycle for your existence is in the earth. You're made from it. You survive upon it. You prosper upon it. One day you have to go back to it. And God promises a resurrection from it. See? How wonderful. So this earth to us is sacred. It should be. The earth should be sacred. God says of it, the earth is my mosque. Isn't that what Allah says to us in the Quran? God says to us, the earth is my mosque.
Yeah.
So look at the respect we're supposed to have for the earth. Many of the people who study decline in business and economy, etc., in this country, in the West, they say that it's due much because of people breaking that bond they used to have with the soil. The soil. The farmer, family that knew their meal had to come out of that ground. They valued it, they respected it, they had a living relationship with the ground, with the earth itself. That's what we need. And I don't think we have to be farmers to get that. I never was a farmer. I got that from reading the Quran. When Allah talks about the earth, it just endeared me so much to His creation, to His earth. Make me feel like it's my birthplace and it's my future. And it's the gift of Allah to me. So I respect it, I treasure it, I respect it. I walk on the ground now, my feet are in love with what it's touching.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. My feet in love with the ground that I'm walking on. The ground is sacred to me. And one day I hope I live to see our people with a workable, productive relationship with this earth, with the ground. It has to come. We are a community, I repeat. And if we are a community, we have to make a contribution to community, to the establishment of community, and to the progress of community life. What strategy should we have? We need a strategy. Because in any country, you either have a dictator, a government that's imposing its will upon all of its citizens and using its citizens just to preserve itself in power, government in power, keep the government in power. Or you have a liberal kind of situation where the government wants to see the people free and prospering and realizing their own aspirations. That's a great, great situation to be in. No matter what difficulties we have in America, that's the situation we have in America. In America, you are encouraged to think for yourself and to have dreams of your own, have aspirations of your own, and to seek to realize those things in your life. But don't think that now, because that's the way of America, that you're not going to have difficulty trying to pursue that or trying to realize that.
We will return to today's lecture after these important announcements. Imam W.D. Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contribution made payable to Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. During the month of January, Imam Muhammad will be making public appearances in the following cities. January the 14th and 15th, Columbia, South Carolina. January the 21st and 22nd, Oakland, California. For further information, see Muslim Journal. And now back to today's program.
No, America gives that same encouragement to everybody. So here you have an ungodly person, he's encouraged to do the same thing. And maybe he looks at you and says, I'm going to get him and his resources. So we have a peculiar kind of freedom over here. We have the freedom of a man-made wilderness. That's what it is. It's a man-made wilderness where the designers of this wilderness insist upon it remaining a wilderness. What do I mean by wilderness? Survival of the fittest. That's what it is. It's the survival of the fittest. And they encourage their top leaders to preserve this character of America's freedom. It must remain wilderness while you encourage humanity. Encourage humanity, but remain, preserve the state of wilderness. We look at the crime problem we have in America. We look at the crime of the abuse, self-abuse we have in America. We look at all these things. Why? Because the idea of wilderness is preserved and promoted just like the idea of civilization is preserved and promoted. And it depends upon the people who are motivated by God or who are motivated by decency. It depends upon them whether the wilderness consumes them or they advance against the wilderness. Now, we want to advance against the wilderness, don't we? We want to push the wilderness back. Well, let's not try to push the wilderness out of the United States before we push the wilderness out of ourselves, out of our homes, and out of our neighborhoods, if we have neighborhoods. Let's just push the wilderness out of the Muslim community. Huh? Yeah, that's what we should be doing. Now, we push the wilderness back, and we ain't got nothing to put in the place of the wilderness. The wilderness is back now. The wild beasts, the strange creatures, the indecent monsters are not running all over the place anymore. The land is just out there vacant and peaceful. So we need to first support everything that we got going for us that's good. And that's what Allah says, doesn't he say that? That's what he's telling us. To be supportive of all that is good and be against all that is bad. This is what God tells us. Now, we would just apply that advice that God gives us. Be supportive of all that is good and be against all that is bad. Oh, look at the rewards that we would have in this community. So are we going to reward criminals in business? We know this person is a criminal, but he has a business. You going to go and reward him by buying his goods? No, I don't care if his name is Abdullah, Abdullah, Abdullah. You shouldn't support him. And you have the other kind of brother who thinks just because he's in business, you're supposed to rush to his door because you're his brother. But he doesn't care about treating you right. He's not interested in getting products that make you feel good. He's not interested in introducing you to better quality things. See, I think they'll like this. I think they will. He doesn't have that interest in excellence at all. He doesn't have that interest in your welfare at all. He's not caring about how you're going to feel after you ate his soup, his beans, or his chicken. He doesn't care how you feel after you eat it. He just wants you to come in there and buy it. But if he cares how you're going to feel while you eat it and how you feel when it's digesting and how it's going to affect your health next week and next year, that's the kind of man you should be supporting in business. Yeah. Our woman, you see? If he's in the clothing business, he should love to bring you items that he's proud of. He should love this garment here. How do you like it? I shopped around in the market for a long time to find this garment. I thought the Muslims would love it. How do you like it, sister? Do you like it, brother? That's the man you support. Now, I'm teaching you African-Americans how to do this thing. Yeah, you have to change your way. Don't just go and, you know, the average one of us, we don't know. Say, I got enough money. I got enough money. I'm going to open up a restaurant. And all he knows is a picture of a restaurant. He knows what a restaurant looks like. He's seen them over and over again. So he go in there and he reproduces that picture. He got the picture of a restaurant. And every time the cash register rang two or three times, he opened up and looked at it. He ain't even going to check on his customer and say, how is the soup today? How's the chicken? Do you like the meal that's prepared? No, he didn't. Okay, I'll see you all in about 30 minutes. I'll be back in about 20 minutes. After all, we don't see him in business no more. Or if he's still in business, he got the business supported by drugs, selling drugs and other things. You know, he got the business as a front. And still you going away. Bad food. So, first thing we should learn is how to support all that is good and be against all that is bad. Don't reward people who are mistreating you. We'll never have a community if we do that. Only way we're going to grow as a community, we have to refuse support to people that don't have any sense of decency, don't have no sense of respect for each other or for customers. We can't reward those people. We have to punish them. Punish them by denying them support and reward those who are worthy of our support. Reward them with our support. So we need a strategy, and I think what I'm talking on now is a strategy. That's a strategy, but it's just good sense. It's just good sense. It's just good human sense. That's a strategy. We just can't open up business like the American people do and think because the lights are on and the food is done and somebody bringing it out to them and the packages are being, the stuff being wrapped and the cash register is going on and hitting and tabulating and stuff. That ain't in business. In business is having the intelligence to know what is good and bad for your business and to avoid all that is bad for your business and go after all that is good for your business. See? That's a strategy. The strategy of the sane-minded, the decent-minded people. For them, it's not a strategy. It's just their nature. But for people in America, you need that strategy. I call it a strategy for America. It's a strategy. Now, education, thank you very much. Education, need a little water here. You hear that pump? That means no liquor is in here. I just opened. Thank you. I had to let them know I just broke it. You know, the plastic just came apart. No liquor. No, Poland Spring water. For education now, it's not good enough just to say, oh, we have parents here, the children, and have a qualified person who can teach them, we should start a school. That's good, but that's not enough. We need to look way down the line. You know what our life is described as? A path. Fi sabilillah. That means in the path of God. It's described as a path. And the path to me is a street. More than that, it's a road. Yes, it's a road. It's an interstate road. Road that takes me from one state to another, carry me all over, you know? That's what it's to me. Now, you get on a path, and you ain't got your mind on nothing but where you are now. Where you gonna go on that path? You get on a path, the vehicle to ride in is the guidance of God. So here you are in your vehicle, and you sitting in the vehicle, and you just looking the right way you are now. To move on a path, you have to look out in front of your head. You have to cast your sights. Right. in front of you in head. You have to look farther than where you are.
Right.
You have to look beyond where you are.
Right.
In the road, in the direction that you want to go in.
Yes.
Right? Right? You imagine somebody driving a car and looking at right where they are? They wouldn't have nothing but accidents. And I think that's the state of the African American people. They just drive the vehicle and they're down the road, down the path of human activity and progress, and they're just looking at nowhere else. Oh, how do I get off here in the cornfield?
Join us next time for the public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call or write WDM Publications. Right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois 60409, or call 1-708-862-7733. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.